Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Text number 26. Atra yadyapi tatra Sri Vyasa Nara Dao tasyapi guru parama guru tatapi punas tanmukha nikshitam Sri Bhagavatam tayoda piyashuta charam iva jatam it yevam Sri Shukas tav apyupadidesha deshiyam ityapi prayaha yaruktam shukamukad amrita drava samyutam iti tasmad evamapi Sri Bhagavatasyaiva sarva adikyam matyadinam yat puran adikyam shriyate tat twapekshikam iti aho kim bahuna Sri Krishna pratinida rupam evedam. Okay, it's not all in Sanskrit. Now we talk English. Both Srila Vyasadeva and Narada were present. They were Shukadeva's spiritual master and grand spiritual master. Yet as Srimad Bhagavatam emanated from Shukadeva's mouth, to them it seemed like something they had never heard before. Thus it is understood that Shukadeva acted as preceptor even for the two of them. It is said, being touched by Shuka's mouth, this fruit has become soft and full of nectar. For this reason also, Srimad Bhagavatam is superior to all other scriptures. When we hear that the Matsya and other Puranas are the greatest, that is only relative. Do you ever hear that the Matsya Purana is the greatest? Okay, said somewhere. Indeed, Srimad Bhagavatam is the exact image of Sri Krishna himself, and we need say nothing more. Okay, maybe for the new students, now we have three of them, explain what we're doing here. We're studying Jiva Goswami Sandarbhas. I'm working on translation and commentary on them, and we're now looking, we're about halfway through the Tattva Sandarbha. And what has been discussed so far, after the Mangalacharana, the question of what can be our reliable source of knowledge about Tattva, the absolute truth. It was first established that the Vedas are the only reliable knowledge, source of knowledge about this transcendental absolute truth. But that we have problems with the Vedas in Kali Yuga. People cannot understand them properly. It was suggested that maybe we can use the Vedanta Sutra as the way of understanding the message of the Vedas, but there's problems with that. There are so many different commentaries on Vedanta Sutra that disagree. So ultimately we come to the conclusion that the itihasas, or we come first to the conclusion that the itihasas and Puranas are indispensable in Kali Yuga for understanding, for being able to understand what the Vedas are trying to teach us. And among the Puranas, the Bhagavatam is the one that has absolute, unquestionable authority. And now, having made that point, support to that proposition is made by, first of all, we discussed, Jiva Goswami presented that so many great authorities, including Shankaracharya and Madhvacharya, put great faith in the Bhagavatam. And now we're reading how Shukadeva Goswami, the hearer or the speaker of the Bhagavatam, that he's exceptionally qualified, and he would not have been interested in any mundane literature. Um, And in fact, Vyasadeva Narada, who are his spiritual master, Shukadeva's father and spiritual master, and Narada, who is Vyasadeva's spiritual master, they were very glad to be in the audience sitting at the feet of Shukadeva just to hear the Bhagavatam. So we continue from that point. Yata uktam pratamaskande Krishne swadam upagate dharma gyanadi biksaha kalau nashtra jisham esha puranarko dunoditaha iti ata eva sarvaguna yuktatvam asya eva drishtam dharma prajita kaitavotra ityadina Veda Puranam Kavyam Cha Prabhur Mitram Priyeva Cha Bodhayanti Tihi Prahus Trivrit Bhagavatam Punaha Iti Mukta Fale Hemadri Kara Vachanena Cha. As the first canto states, this Srimad Bhagavatam is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. Of course, that's the Bhagavatam glorifying itself. Therefore, we see that this scripture is uniquely endowed with all good qualities. This is shown by such statements as completely rejecting all religious activities that are materially motivated. And in the words of Muktafala and Hemadri's Smriti statement, the Vedas, Puranas and poetic works instruct like a master, a friend, and a lover, respectively. The Bhagavatam, however, teaches in all three ways. I have a doubt here about my translation. I'm assuming that the Muktafala was written by Vopadeva, right? And Hemadri is somebody else, right? Because I could take it that they're both the same person. He's the Hemadri Kara. That's funny, because Hemadri is a person's name. Hemadri Kara would be the author of Hemadri. Do you make any sense out of that? Okay. Because I'm almost sure. Let me just make a note to myself to check this. Yes, I'm sorry? Wow.
Well, it quotes Dharma Pujita Ketavota Ityadina. So by this statement.
No, the iti period.
Yeah.
No. It's just the last thing. The last verse is from the Muktafala.
Yes, I know. So I'm doing
it. Oh, okay.
Ityadina, by this, and then. It says iti mukta pale, which is satami, and then imandri kara vachanena, which is tritiya. So by the statement, but why is mukta pale and satami?
In that book. It can mean.
By the statement in that book?
Well, yes. Yeah, I mean, you know.
There's
the predicate that it is seen that it's full of all good qualities by this and by that, by this statement and by that statement. So the instrumental is appropriate there, vachanena. The saptami doesn't serve the same purpose. You could rephrase the sentence to make the saptami appropriate, but here it's not, as saying a third place. It looks like the author intended that it's the statement of Hemadri in the Muktafala that modifies the statement. Let me just make a note about it. It seems like they're supposed to be the same person. Let me just question it and check it later. Okay. All right. Anyway, let's look at what we have here. I'll worry about straightening this out later. It's not the end of the world to us whether the Mukta Phala was written by Vobhadeva or Hemadri. It doesn't matter to us. But it's a very significant statement. It's often quoted that the Bhagavatam actually serves the purpose of and speaks in the language of the three major categories of literature, the Vedas, the Puranas, and poetry. The Vedas and Puranas are ancient scriptures, kavyas written by more recent authors, but by experts in poetry. And there are different kinds of language used. So Vedas speak as a master, Puranas speak as a friend, and poetry speaks like a lover. They're, in other words, the Vedas are telling us what to do. It's not really command. Injunction doesn't mean an absolute demand. Injunction is a strong recommendation. You should, if you care to make your life successful, you should do this, but it's your choice. That's an injunction. And typically it's expressed by the vidilin, by the optative. You should do it. But that's a stern voice of a master. But Puranas speak like a friend and tell you stories and encourage you to do the right thing in a friendly way. And poetry talks very sweetly and tries to allure you to the truth. But the Bhagavatam speaks in all three voices. The Bhagavatam expresses itself in all three ways. Different people may have preference for learning from the Vedas or learning from Puranas or learning from poetry. But all three kinds of people can learn from the Bhagavatam. Okay, I'm going to read the last part of 26 in the commentary. Tasman manyantam va kechit puranantareshu vedasya sapeksha tvam Sri Bhagavate tu tata sambhavana swayam eva nirastit api swayam eva labdham bhavati ata eva paramashruti rupatvam tasya yatoktam. I see a mistake. The period should go before the footnote number. Doesn't want to let me edit. Okay, hold on a second. To quit this view, go back to normal. I had to close the file. I'm sorry, hold on a second. Technical problems. Okay. I'm just trying to move a period. It's not letting me. Okay, got it. Yatoktam katamba pandaveyasya rajarsher munina saha samvadak samabhut tata yatraisha satvati shrutihi iti. Ata yat kalu sarvam purana jatam avirbhav yet yadikam purvam uktam tattu pratamaskanda gata shrivyasa narada samvadi naiva prameyam. So even if, as some people think, Other Puranas are subordinate to the authority of the Vedas. Srimad Bhagavatam directly denies this idea in regard to itself. Sorry. I just jumped. Okay. Can I read the sentence again? So even if, as some people think, other Puranas are subordinate to the authority of the Vedas, Srimad Bhagavatam directly denies this idea in regard to itself. In other words, the Bhagavatam independently asserts its own authority. Indeed, its authority is that of the highest Shruti, as indicated by the question, how did it so happen that King Parikshit met the great sage, making possible the speaking of this Shruti text? The conversation between Sri Vyasadeva and Narada in the first canto gives supporting evidence to our earlier statement that all the other Puranas were revealed first, and then the Bhagavatam. Okay, commentary. Both Vyasadeva and Narada were familiar with the text of the Bhagavatam, the same text Shukadeva spoke to Parikshit. Still, of course, Vyasadeva taught it to Shukadeva, and Narada taught it to Vyas. Whether he spoke the whole thing or just a summary of it, still he knew it also. Still, quote, as Srimad Bhagavatam emanated from Shukadeva's mouth, to them it seemed like something they had never heard before. That's the quote from what Jiva Goswami just said. The great sage is present, recognized Shukadeva's simple recitation of Bhagavatam as a profound act of interpretation. In a way perfectly suiting the time and place, Shukadeva was again bringing the almost forgotten Bhagavatam into this world and giving it new life. Some years later, Suta Goswami gave birth to it in yet another incarnation, even more public. And after this, many Vaishnava commentators brought forth new interpretations for the benefit of one generation after another. As the general level of culture went through natural ups and downs over the centuries, tending overall in the direction of diminishing intelligence, the Acharyas adjusted their explanations for their own students' understanding. As a rule, the weaker intelligence of each new generation in Kali Yuga made necessary more and more thorough commentary. Most recently, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada achieved a masterful feat of interpretation, comparable in its creative boldness only to Shukadeva's recitation. By lucidly rendering the text of the Bhagavatam and its commentaries into English, a language ordinarily not fit for expressing the subtleties of Vaishnava theology. All along, the faithful handlers of Srimad Bhagavatam have preserved its message free from distortion. The Vedas instruct as a master instructs a servant. Vedic injunctions are not dictatorial commands, however. They are always given as recommendations, addressed to mature human beings capable of deciding for themselves what to do. The voice of the Puranas is friendlier than that of the authoritarian Vedas. By recounting history and offering reasonable arguments, the Puranas patiently encourage their readers to accept their good advice. Fine poetry speaks with yet another voice, that of a beloved. Srimad Bhagavatam, however, speaks fluently and convincingly in all three of these languages. Various Puranas present rival claims of superiority, which may all be relatively true. The status of Srimad Bhagavatam, however, is absolute. There is no higher authority to relevantize the teachings of the Bhagavatam. What are you going to appeal to? What authority are you going to appeal to judge the Bhagavatam? There is no higher authority. Rajante tavad anyani puranani satam gone yavad bhagavatam naiva shriyate mritasagaram. Of course, this is spoken by Suta Goswami in the Bhagavatam, 12th canto. The other Puranas shine forth in the assembly of saintly devotees only as long as that great ocean of nectar, Srimad Bhagavatam, is not heard. That's in the very last chapter of the Bhagavatam. The authority of other Puranas depends on Vedic Shruti for verification. But Srimad Bhagavatam is independent. Srila Jiva Goswami even suggests that despite the Bhagavatams officially belonging to the secondary category of Smriti, along with the other Puranas, Vaishnavas can be privy to the confidential truth that Srimad Bhagavatam is the most exalted Shruti scripture. Therefore, Srila Jiva calls the Bhagavatam the Pratinidhirupa of Sri Krishna, his direct reflection. Actually, Sanatana Goswami also says that, Sri Krishna Parivartita, addressed to the Bhagavatam, invocative. Oh, I don't know how we translated it. Direct what? Exact image of Krishna. That's good. And because God and his image are non-different, this implies that Srimad Bhagavatam is the full incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in sound. Any comments? Questions? Vishnukanta Prabhu? Okay.
This Hemadri's Smriti says about this Vedas, Puranas, and...
You have to talk, make it louder. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. So the Hemadri Smriti says about the Vedas, Puranas and Kavyas, the languages of each of these three. So the instructions given by each of these three are like master, friend and a beloved. So we know about the instruction of Vedas and Puranas, which fall under the category of Shrutis and Smritis. But what are the instructions referred to here as general instruction by the Kavyas?
Oh, example is given that you can read, Kavya about the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra and learn from the very sweet narration, poetic narration, but you can learn the lesson that you should be like Rama, virtuous, and you shouldn't be like Ravana. Because if you're like Ravana, you and your whole family and your whole kingdom will be destroyed. So you learn that from the poetry. But the poetry has its own way of teaching that lesson. The lessons are the same, basically, but the ways of teaching them differ. So Kavya tries to teach the same spiritual and ethical, moral lessons that Shastra does, that revealed scripture does. But it's not revealed scripture, it's written by a poet. If the poet's a Vaishnava, then you'll get spiritual instruction. If the poet's not a Vaishnava, then it'll be mundane poetry, and you won't learn anything really spiritual from it.
So here, the poetry is referred to the spiritual poetries, like of our Goswamis and other Acharyas, and the instructions. That's what is referred to here?
Well, you can say, yeah, well, Hemadri may not be making that careful distinction. He's a mundaner himself. So he thinks poetry is good. And he may not be carefully distinguishing between spiritual poetry and material poetry, but we make the distinction. We're quoting him, and he's not a Vaishnava. Yeah. That's good. It is good luck, but he's not a real Vaishnava.
Srimad Bhagavatam.
He said elsewhere, he's a Hemadri. I don't know about Hemadri, but if Hemadri is Draupadi, then he's a Mayavadi. But I think they're two different people. Yes.
Srimad Bhagavatam itself comes in the category of a Mahakavya, isn't it? I saw
for this reason. Description. For this reason, as affirmed by the Hemadri, the Bhagavatam speaks like poetry. It uses the language of poetry, so it's a poem. What makes something poetry is how you use the language. If you use it poetically, then it's poetry. But we'll be studying, starting tomorrow, what is poetry. So I won't get into it now. That's for the poetry class. Bhagavatam is poetry by the strict definition of poetry. But it's not only poetry. Usually something that's serious philosophy is not written in poetry. It's usually written in prose. But Bhagavatam can be in poetry, can be poetic, and also serious philosophy.
Because I read an analysis by one person, he said that how the 24 different characteristics of a Mahakavya, it fits exactly to Srimad Bhagavatam, and he proved...
Oh, a Mahakavya, that's a specific form. Do you know what a Mahakavya is?
Not sure.
Okay. No, Mahakavya is one specific form of poetry. It's got to be a certain, it's got to be... Maha, it's got to be sort of big, at least 100 verses. And so it can't just be a short poem. And it's got to deal with certain special topics. You got to have mention of the moon and of oceans and battles. These things have to be mentioned, otherwise it's not a Mahakavya. Okay. So I guess it does fit the definition. But it's more than just a Mahakavya. Mahakavya can be just 100 verses. Bhagavatam is much greater than that. Yes, bro. Does your name have two syllables?
Ram goes. Ram is fine.
Okay. So that apostrophe is not a vagraha. That's a Hebrew unvoiced guttural. Like
in Hebrew they say re'em.
Re'em.
But I never asked anybody to pronounce it because it just bothersome to some. My question. Sometimes it is said that that kavya is defined by dvani, and where can we find that in the Bhagavatam?
Mention of dvani? It may be hard to define that. That's a technical discussion of poetics. But we're going to be studying in the class that I'm going to start tomorrow the theory of poetry as given by Kavi Karnapur, who's certainly a student of the Bhagavatam. But he wrote a separate book, a technical book, explaining all that. And he, yes, dvani is the life air of poetry. We'll be reading about that. I don't know where you can find that same technical discussion in the Bhagavatam. Usually the Bhagavatam doesn't bother with material things that are discussed well enough elsewhere. Bhagavatam sticks to the essential spiritual topics. And therefore, definition of poetry is not given in the Bhagavatam. Some Puranas, you read the Agni or Vayu Purana, has a long discussion of poetry theory. But Bhagavatam doesn't do that. It would be a waste of valuable shelf space in the Bhagavatam to go into a whole several chapters discussing the techniques of poetry. You can find that information elsewhere, so the Bhagavatam doesn't bother with it. Just assumes it. So I don't think you'll find a definition of dvani theory in the Bhagavatam.
So what I meant, it's just that because you said that all three forms can be found in the Bhagavatam. I was just wondering because some say, like Anandavardhana, he defines kavya through dvani. So I was just wondering if we can find that dvani in the Bhagavatam.
Can you find actual use of dvani?
Yes.
All over the place.
That's what I meant. Yes.
Yes. Kavi Karnapur's explanation is that This is the spiritual value of poetry, is that rasa cannot be described literally in words, but it can be evoked by suggestion of poetry. So words, when they're poetic and they're done by a spiritual author, they can awaken rasa, but not just by saying, you know, just by saying bhava. The word bhava doesn't inspire bhava, or even just a literal description. It has to be a suggestive description that uses dhwani. That's why dhwani is so important in poetry, because it's the only means by which you can express the transcendental reality of rasa and bhava in words. So Bhagavatam is words, and the Bhagavatam is full of rasa, according to the very third statement of the Bhagavatam. So it must be using dhwani to do that. It's the only means to do it with words. The only way you can inspire rasa by words is to use dhwani. Therefore, the Bhagavatam must be using dhwani. And if you study it, if you analyze it, you'll find examples everywhere, all over in Bhagavatam. And we'll read, when we study this poetics, that there are different qualities of poetry, classes, according to how good the dhwani is. And uttama poetry, best among the best of poetry, Bhagavatam fits that definition also. And what makes poetry best of the best is when not only is there suggestion, dhwani, but the suggestions make further suggestions, like echoes making further echoes. When you have that, then you have uttama kavya. And Bhagavatam fits that definition also. And you can prove it by poetically analyzing. You can pick verses and analyze them. And we'll be studying the techniques of how to analyze poetry in the other class. Okay? Dhwani and vyanjana are synonymous.
Okay. Suggestion. A question is that there was no analysis done so far of the Bhagavatam in these three languages.
Oh, we haven't started to analyze the Bhagavatam yet.
No, I'm speaking. Is there any?
Has
work?
Anybody done?
Yeah. Analysis of, okay, this is spoken in the master voice.
I don't know. I haven't seen such a thing, but it wouldn't be that hard to do. You could do it. Yeah. Maybe we'll. Okay, we're going to give an assignment to everybody. Let's see. I'll give you a month. Nah, 2 weeks. Write a short essay. 3 pages is enough. Say 8 pages maximum. Describing how the Bhagavatam speaks in all three voices based on the statement we just read. Show us how the Bhagavatam does do that. And everybody should write a short essay on that. Yes? What? Okay, we'll publish them on the website. But yet, it's obligatory assignment. You have 2 weeks to do it. Today's the 3rd. Okay, until the 18th. On the 18th, it's due. Okay. And I'm not going to forget about it, so I'll remind you. Yes.
By the 18th?
18th, yeah. 3 pages is enough. Okay. And you have a...
Yes.
Yeah.
Let me just find the text. Okay, so the Bhagavatam is the highest Shruti. Its authority is even above Shruti.
Above Shruti? It's Shruti.
It's absolute.
I don't think you're going to put anything above the Vedas, but it's equal to the Vedas. Vedas, Sapekshatam. Yeah. I don't think we have a statement here that is better than the Vedas, but equal to the Vedas.
Indeed, its authority is that of the highest Shruti. What does this mean, the highest Shruti?
Well, some Shrutis at least when you look at them, seem to be karmakanda. So Shrutis, among the Shrutis, some of them are considered to belong to the karmakanda category or the gyanakanda category or the bhaktikanda. So the superior Shruti is that which belongs to the bhaktikanda. And that Shruti which presents pure devotional service would be the highest Shruti. Shvetashvatara Upanishad is definitely devotional, but it's devotional service mixed with jnana. It's jnana mishra bhakti, presented in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad. So that's almost the highest, but Bhavatam is better than that. Not that there aren't any other Shrutis that are also the highest, not that the, you know, that all Shrutis are inferior to the Bhavatam.
So, usually we hear of three categories, Karmakanda, Gyanakanda, and Upasana Kanda.
Yes.
Is there other Kandas? Like higher, like you said, like...
No, those... Well, bhakti. There might be subcategories, but those are the main three divisions of, the top of the subject matter of the Vedas.
And the bhakti would be put in which category?
Third.
Upasana Kanda?
Well, Upasana is more general, worship, but that includes ritual sacrifices.
And of the worship...
Worship
the
of demigods is included under Upasana.
In the highest worship.
So the highest of Vishnu, of the Supreme Lord. Yeah.
So it's bhakti. Okay. Thank you.
And now where did I say highest Shruti? Let's check if it's right.
It's in the translation.
To which?
The last section.
Can you give me a number?
It's 26.3.
Point three, okay.
It's in the third sentence.
Is that of the highest Shruti? Let's see. Paramashruti Rupatvam. It says right there, Paramashruti. Okay, Jiva Goswami uses the word. So I didn't put something there that's not right. Jiva Goswami said it.
In the commentary, I said, most exalted Shruti scripture. So it's not above, it's the most exalted. Yeah.
Okay, but it's there's relativities among Shruti. Some are more superior to others. Okay? It's not only a Shruti, it's a first-class Shruti. Okay, anything else on 26? We already changed the clock. Not exactly. It's still 2 minutes behind. I think, well, we won't go on to 27 today. So if there's no other discussion, we'll stop. Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Sri Tattva Sandarbha Ki Jai.